Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. This is Neera, the moderator for your call today. Welcome to the post-results conference call of AIA Engineering Limited. We have with us today the management team of AIA Engineering Limited. At this moment, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star and one. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to the AIA Engineering management team. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. This is Kunal, and we also have Sanjay Bhai here on the call with us. It's not been long since we last interacted for the fourth quarter numbers, and we hope, you know, we'll make a quick wrap-up on numbers and get into Q&A for this call. We don't have a lot of updates, but nevertheless, we'll be happy to answer those. We've done 74,000 tons of sales, and I think it's after many years we've broken the number barrier of 70,000 in the first quarter. We generally were between 62,000 and 65,000, 67,000. So 74,000 tons and roughly equivalent production for this quarter, which translated to about 1,220 crores of product sales, EBITDA of 402 crores and profit after tax of 272 crores. They are, you know, materially higher than first quarter last year and mostly comparable with the fourth quarter of last year. From an other income standpoint, we've done 19 crores of, you know, operational other income, which is largely incentives for export. Our other income, most of it which comes from treasury, that's about 56 crores, and that compares to about 4,800 crores fourth quarter last, end of March. There's a small exchange gain, about 2.86 crores, for a total other income of 59.51 crores. Total other income, non-operational other income, and 19.29 of operational other income. Our treasury, our net cash is about 2750 crores, and with an average yield of, you know, above 7%, you know, on that total corpus, and which is where there is some M2M loss we had in the first quarter last year, and of course a smaller corpus, and which is where there is a much smaller treasury income in the first quarter of last year when you look at it sequentially. Moving on, our working capital days, you know, are around 100 and significantly lower than, materially lower rather than 118, 120 days that we had for a long period. And some part of that coming from the reduction in overall stock that we are carrying finished goods, all earmarked for a customer, but, you know, on account of supply chain easing up, there is some amount of respite that we have over there. So I think the peak finished goods stock that we had was about, you know, 1,000 crores plus, which is about 890 crores now. So there's about 100 crore reduction in just on that account. Raw material is largely at about 30 days. So total 100-day working capital cycle, broadly 74,000 tons. We've got 53,000 tons coming from mining, and say, you know, the balance about 20,000 tons, 21,000 tons coming from non-mining, which is cement and some amount of thermal power in India. Our order book continues, you know, upward of 600 crores, you know, and we've reported some amount of foreign exchange contracts. But as you all know, the spread has reduced. The premium on foreign exchange derivatives has reduced as the interest rate differentials reduce. So, and that's also reflected in a smaller foreign currency coverage, you know, open from here on. Some notable things that probably we would share. One is on the capex side. We discussed about 510 crores of capex for the full, for 2 years, which included 200 crores of, you know, the overall older ODHAV cluster restructuring, you know, which is creation of warehouse space, creating some pattern storage and, you know, related infrastructure, restructuring some old plants, and some debottlenecking. You know, we will see about 20,000 tons of additional non-grinding media capacity that will come up with that. So there was 200 crores on that account, 250 crores on the grinding media work that we're doing, which will take the 80,000 ton grinding media plant, and which is expected to come up by end of next year. And another 60 crores plus on captive renewable power generation. Of that, about 510 crore next, you know, between 24 and 25, we've done about 63 crores in the first quarter, you know, towards all these three line items. There was a announcement yesterday about Peru. We formed a subsidiary in Peru. And the way that country works, and in line with our work that we're doing in Latin America, the lawyer there, you know, a law firm created that entity, and then, you know, had to transfer it to us. That's how, you know, the entities get created there, it looks like. And so it was termed as an acquisition, but it was only basically creating a fully owned subsidiary in Peru. Just to clarify the announcement that was done yesterday. We also have a sunset review for the duties that are there in Brazil, which are currently at 11.8%. And the outcome of that process will be known by end of March. So we'll continue to work on that and doing a bit, working with the authorities in Brazil on that. Another thing is for mining liners, we've done about 9,000 tons of mill liners this quarter. And from what we did about 25,000 tons last year, full year, and we hope to do about between 30 and 35,000 tons this year. So that's on track, and about 4,000 tons of that's coming from the new plant, so which is all getting settled very well. Our captive generation now stands at 64 megawatts, and because of the 38 megawatts.
38,
huh? Our total installed capacity is at 64 megawatts, and our captive is 38. But as you know, it has a lower PLF, you know, generation. So about 22% of our total power came from our own captive renewable sources. We are happy about that. And lastly, you will see a little higher tax provision for this quarter, but that's the sum total of, you know, we've got all these subsidiaries outside India, within India, and that's a point in time. I think for the full year, our tax will continue at about 23%, but this is just a point in time profit as is, and once the transfer pricing adjustments, etc. are done, which are all year-end activity, our tax will be at 23%. So there is no other reason for the higher tax. The tax is at 27%, 26.7%, I think. But this quarter,
yeah.
But it will normalize to 23 for the full year. From a market standpoint, I think absolutely the commentary remains what it was for the fourth quarter. We continue to remain focused on the mining sector. Metals that we are focused on, which is copper and gold, remain to be metals of interest for the world in terms of its end use. And to that extent, there is a lot of interesting conversations that we are able to do on account of the solutions that we provide to our customers, which we've discussed extensively, you know, on our calls, you know, and that allows us this excitement that, you know, there's this whole conversion story as far as moving from forged to chrome is concerned, and the whole mill lining opportunity in terms of delivering improved throughputs, lower power consumption for the customers. So I think for the full year, we did about 292,000 tons. We hope to add about 30,000 tons on that this year, including the mill liners. We may do a little more or a little less, and we'll keep, you know, sharpening that as we go forward. With that having said, we'll have Sanjay Bhai share his inputs, and then we can go on.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kunal. So good evening, everyone. And yes, business as usual. All the basic parameters remain the same. We have done reasonably well in Q1. Bottom line appears to be, you know, the operating margin after adjusting the treasury income is at about 28%. It is including the other operating income. But as we always say, it is a function of product mix. It's a function of a lot of factors that come in play, the pass-throughs, the reducing freight cost impact, the and all that. So I think we are doing pretty good, and as Kunal explained, the capex plans are absolutely on track, and the efforts for conversion is going with full force, and we are hopeful of continuing traction on an annualized basis. We believe that we should keep on growing the way we have been anticipating. I think with this, Kunal, let's open the house for Q&A. Moderator, you may open the house for Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone and await your turn to ask a question when guided by the facilitator. If your question has been answered before your turn and you wish to withdraw your question, you are requested to press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, please use handsets while asking a question. We'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Akash Bhavsar from Equirus Group. Please go ahead.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ashutosh. I think there's some issue.
Yeah, Ashutosh, please.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Kunal Sanjay bhai. So, firstly, the overall volumes, the way it looks good. On others volume, this quarter was a bit low. So is it like a quarterly phenomena or should normalize in the, on a full year basis?
It will normalize.
Okay. And you mentioned 30,000 tons we plan to add this year, the same guidance as earlier.
Yeah, absolutely the same.
Okay. Obviously tax rate is higher, as mentioned, it will normalize, but there is some line items saying that there is 8.3 crores provision related to some withholding taxes recoverable in overseas jurisdiction. What is that exactly?
That is the reason why, it's very difficult to one of our subsidiaries. Kunal will explain.
So there is, we're doing work, outside at one of the countries that we operate in. There is, like you have TDS in India.
Okay.
When you pay outside, you have to do a tax deduction and source, and then, there's a recovery adjustment of tax. We are facing some sort of issues in terms of recovering that. So as a cautious, prudent method, we have written that off. While we make efforts to recover that, going forward, we have claimed an exemption over there. So this is just a one-time old issue that continued.
Okay, got it. And lastly, as an outlook, obviously we have this guidance of adding volumes and we have put up the subsidiary in Peru. How is South America as a market looking for us? What we have done and how do you see it going ahead?
So, of course, we remain extremely bullish on North America, Latin America. Peru is extremely critical for us. We are strengthening our presence there, and this subsidiary formation is an effort to have a more direct presence in this critical market. So it's an ongoing process,
Okay.
And it's a part of our overall strategy.
Nothing specific to report on.
We have more than 15, 16 subsidiaries in all critical markets. We need a POP, point of presence there, and that is what the subsidiary would do.
But are we getting good traction in Latin America as such? I mean, because that's a big market for copper and gold as well. So yes. Are we getting good traction orders from there in that market?
Nothing specific to report.
We are working very hard in those markets. And of course, our endeavor is to fructify a lot of conversions. I think we are working very hard. Let's wait and see. That's all I can say at this point in time.
And you mentioned 9,000 mill liner volume in this quarter. 4,000 was produced on the new plant. Is that correct?
4,000 the new plant.
Yes. Correct.
Okay. I think that would be awesome.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Garvit Goyal from Anvest Analytics. Please go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Goyal.
Garvit, may I request you to unmute your line and go ahead with your question, please? Due to no response, we move on to the next participant. Next question is from the line of Dhananjay from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, congratulations, good set of numbers. Wanted to ask regarding OP per ton.
Dhananjay, your voice is not coming clearly. Can you please speak a little louder?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So, our OP per ton has increased sharply because of the reduction in freight costs. Is that something which we see stabilizing? Would this be something similar going ahead, or would we have to pass this on back to customers? How would that play out?
Freight is like our other raw material cost is conceptually a pass through. There is a timing difference, but you know, freight rates are going down. That will be a pass through.
Okay, so then any guidance of what OP per ton would be then a fair estimate for the year, considering because 46,000 is significantly much higher than.
We don't have a fixed price. It's not an absolute number, no, because I mean.
Yeah.
It will depend on the selling price. Selling price is a function of, because we are telling a guiding in terms of margin, operating margin, which is a percent. 2022 is a directional converse, you know, guidance that we're giving as far as margin. We've done better, but that's, I think, you know, we'll not be able to split here and say how much. Now, as far as the average realization is concerned, it will fall in line with raw material and freight, but there's also a product mix angle at it. So it's very difficult to give a guidance whether it will be 150 or 140 or will it stay at 160, but you know, if raw material remains at current level, it should be around 150. I mean, broadly, that's where it should stay.
Little more perhaps, but yeah, as Kunal said, a lot of factors that play, but currently this quarter we've done about 165 average realization. It should hover in that range plus minus 5% or something of that sort.
Sure. As the other volumes, any reason why those decline year on year, considering, let's say, cement volume?
It's just a function of a quarterly typical requirement of a given set of customers. You should not read more into it.
Okay, fine. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good evening, sir, and a good set of numbers. Yes, sir. So just, I know we don't talk much about percentage margins, but we've seen a very strong margin profile in this quarter, while, you know, realizations are broadly held on. So is that kind of got to do with the lag in pass-through of the lower prices, etc., for this quarter, of raw material, freight, etc.?
So, Bhumika, there are two, three reasons which are coming in play. One very important factor is product mix. So, if the product mix is more tilted towards bigger or larger castings, then definitely the margin profile will improve. There is also an effect of, how do you put it, the freight cost going down, etc. And then there will be some lag with which it will be passed. A much better way of looking at us is, it should normalize and stabilize in the range of 22-23% or 24% and thereabouts on an annual average basis. Some quarter may look to be very good. I am not saying that this is not sustainable over a longer period. All I am saying is quarterly trends cannot reflect the annual trends. That's all.
Got it. Sir, the other thing is obviously we are seeing a lot of traction in terms of volumes, which is where you also guided roughly a 40,000 tons of incremental volumes for
25 to 30 is what we are talking about. Our endeavor will be, of course, a little higher, but let's see.
So, where are we seeing traction? You know, where are we progressing? How many new clients are we seeing? Whatever way you can give some color. You know, in terms of where, what kind of volumes are under trials, which can possibly kind of go up, etc. Plus, also on the, if you can give some color on EMS, how is that kind of progressing?
Okay, Bhumika, there are couple of things that we will definitely see. We will not give you client-wise details. It is not our policy. However, having said that, there are several new mining locations. At least 30-40 new mining locations which are under trial stage. Obviously, when we are talking about this, it is meaning that there would be different stages of progression at different mines. Some of them are at a fairly advanced stage, I would say. Some of them are at an initial stage. But based on all that, And based on the indications available, we are fairly confident that this 25,000-30,000 tons should be forthcoming. There cannot be a timetable to it, you know, given the typical process with which the conversions happen. Having said that, I think we are fairly confident that this should happen and this should be on a sustainable basis. This is point number one. Now, what was your second question you said?
Sir, on EMS.
Okay. So as we said, there are multiple approaches. One, the EMS, that is the typical patented mill lining design with which we are working is one of them. And the DP, EMS, everything collectively works. It is not just one particular factor.
And moreover, Bhubika, the idea was to talk about what's the solution. I mean, trying to get into how many tonnages towards each solution is, I don't think it's beyond the point relevant. Idea is to sell castings, right? The idea is to sell a product. And that was only to demonstrate that there is a design intervention, there is an alloy intervention ultimately leading to a disproportionate outcome for the customer.
Understood. Understood.
It's very much.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ashwani Sharma from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes.
Ashwani Sharma, may I request you to unmute your line, please?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, please. We can hear you.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is again on the margin. So if you look at this quarter, 28%, in the previous calls also we have been kind of guiding that, you know, there's some reversal will happen. So at what point in time, maybe in next quarter or quarter, if you can give some, you know, indication that it will normalize to 22-23%, which is in line with your guidance. So, how do we see this, sir, your margin profile going ahead?
There are a couple of clarifications I would want to give. We have been saying that a minimum sustainable margin for our kind of business is in the range of 22-24% pure operating margin. We have also always maintained that our endeavor will be to improve the margins. Having said that, our focus currently is on conversions and market share gains, where we would have to definitely also consider that we will have to price the products for every new entry that I get, the product will be priced competitively. So the point here is that I am saying this is the definitely a sort of a base margin based on which our endeavor we are working, and some quarters we have done well. Just for your understanding, Q3 of FY23 was very good, exceptionally good. Again, Q4, because of the transition effect, was normalized a little bit. Q1 is very good, again, where there are factors like reducing freight costs, reducing raw material costs, or maintaining raw material costs at a steady level, and improving the product mix in favor of certain larger castings, which has changed the profile of Q1. I made it very clear this should not again be regarded as sustainable. So in Q2, you may again find us coming to 25%. We don't guide on a quarterly basis. We only give a minimum base level margin guidance so that investors are clear that this is how the company operates. Now, if I've done matter in a particular quarter, we are cautiously making a statement that this should not be extrapolated to mean the margin for all the four quarters. That's all.
Okay. Thanks for the reward, sir. So secondly, on the Brazil thing, you touched upon Brazil thing in your initial remarks. If you can, you know, put more some light on this.
So the duties were applied for 5 years and that period ended, you know, so there is a review that happens in which they will reassess, you know, what sort of duty to apply. And that's a little bit of a collaborative process. So there is a, you know, where we are required to submit information on all that we are doing, our costs, etc. So we are engaging with the department that runs this process.
It is a routine process.
It's a routine process, and we'll be able to know what the new duty would be from 11.8. What will it change to?
The whole process, at the end of it will get determined, which will be by end of March.
So what is the current volume that we are doing to Brazil?
We'll do about, end of the full year, about 8 to 10,000 tons.
Okay, sir. Thanks for the answers. Those were my questions.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Atul Bhole from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, just one question. In sectors like chemicals or cables, etc., we are hearing commentary of clients going for destocking because supply chains are normalizing and they would have stocked the inventory because of the earlier disturbances. So are you seeing such kind of concerns?
No, nothing of that sort. Our business is very different, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So because of B2B angle, there are no stocking related issues?
We are a long-term solution provider. Our growth is primarily focused on a conversion opportunity where the penetration in mining of our kind of high chrome solutions are significantly lower, in the range of 20-25% of the total demand, rest being met by conventional forged products, where our entire endeavor is to convert the customer or the mines to our solutions, where, you know, the question of stocking or destocking will not come. Once we are onboarded, it becomes a very long-term engagement and we get our indications about annual requirements, and we maintain inventories in warehouses across the globe to make sure that the customer's requirement is met. Now, for example, if the client or the mine is already having earlier stocks of conventional products, they will first wait to exhaust them, give us initially lower orders, and then gradually increase. So, but our whole angle is very different.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Garvit Goyal from Manvest Analytics. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
So my first question is on the total industry size as of today for grinding media bowls, and how much of it belongs to a high chrome grinding bowl?
So again, you know, this industry, you have to dissect. I would just very quickly...
Garvit, sorry to interrupt you. Garvit, can you mute your line, please? There's a bit of disturbance from your background. Yes, sir, you may continue, please.
So, you know, if you look at mining, we are talking of a replacement opportunity of 2.5 to 3 million tons. An addressable opportunity for the ores type that we are focused on is anywhere in the range of 1.5 to 2 million tons. Penetration of high chrome between us and our competition is in the range of 400,000 to 500,000 tons. And that is where the conversion opportunity we are working on. In cement, it is close to about 300,000 tons. And it is all, I would say, entirely serviced by, it is converted into high chrome use, so that cement industry is more or less flat for us.
Understood, sir. And sir, how fast this penetration is going to be? We are guiding for only 10 to 12% volume growth, which seems a little bit conservative. If you look at your factors that you are talking about, like migration thing and industry growth and the capex we are undertaking, etc. So what is stopping us to have 20-25% kind of growth if our product is so good for our customers, and considering the growing metal demand at the global level, sir?
You see, there are multiple factors that come to the play. All the mines, they have their own sets of compulsions. Mine manager, who is at the ground level, he operates with a limited budget. We were talking of a fundamental shift for which we are focused. Again, the process is very long. You have to go, you have to take trials, you have to convince the mine that this is workable for them. So you work on the chrome advantage as a cost saving factor, then you work on the down process advantages that our solutions offer. You also work on the mill lining typical solutions. After all this, it takes 1 or 2 years for us to convert every customer. Even then, after taking all the benefits, they have their own internal compulsions. So all these processes, it is a very, very painstakingly minute micro-level process which takes its own time. And therefore the conversion process itself is very slow, and therefore we are always conservative in guidance and we are taking the target rates of conversion. So it's fairly complicated. It's not like, you know, you set up an automobile robotic line and you start producing. It's much more complicated than that, and that's why it takes time.
Understood, sir. And sir, going ahead, if we see our June quarter is lower as compared to other three. So is that correct understanding that we will have improvement Q on Q from here? And can we assume we should witness 20% kind of Y on Y top line growth this year?
Sir, we are very clear that our quarterly trends should not be looked into as, so you know, for example, if I have done 74,000 tons, it doesn't mean I will do 74,000 tons only as an extrapolation. What happens is that as we convert, and there could be therefore quarters where we are flat, quarters where you will see a decent volume growth. So I would say that an overall volume growth of about 15% is what we have guided this year. That's about 25 to 30,000 tons. It need not come on a quarterly basis. It is not a sum total divided into four. And I can't even say that what will be Q2 and what will be Q3.
Right, sir. And the last one is, sir, you mentioned 7% yield on the treasury balances. So, sir, this is too low, which is lowering our overall ROC as well. So, why are we not considering rewarding the shareholders in terms of buyback and all, sir?
Sir, you see what is happening. The market is very big. We are working on several opportunities. We want to conserve our cash till such time that we reach an internal targeted level of penetration, because we might come across any growth opportunity. We will need working capital. We are aggressively going on cash also, on capex also. So currently we are working as per the board guidelines of about 20% distribution. I think going forward we are very consciously reviewing it every quarter, every 6 months, and we will take a considered call going forward. But we think that shareholder reward also will come in the form of a growth, and that is what we are targeted upon.
Understood, sir. That's all from my side, sir. All the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Amar Kedia from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Kunal. Hi Sanjay bhai.
Congratulations
on a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
So my question is relating to one of the comments that you had made, I believe, a couple of quarters ago, that freight costs at that point of time were elevated, and you had mentioned that if the freight costs come down, then you will be a little more competitive for the Latin American market. Now that freight costs have more or less normalized, are you witnessing incremental traction for the Latin American markets, or we still have some time to see that?
I think Latin America freight was a big issue. So we lost time because of travel. We did a lot of work before COVID. You know, we almost lost a year and a half, two for COVID. Shipping rates were high. We're now back into the market, right? So I think for the last two quarters, we've been talking about it. We are going, I think shipping has become like your utility in terms of predictable, expected, and working business as usual, right? So I think those converse, but it will not be, you know, everything okay, and, you know, there is effort and a journey and a period linked to that. We'll be happy to share updates as they come along. You know, nothing specific to report at this time.
Okay. So and my understanding of what you said is that the competitive scenario is now better, but it will still take some effort and time for that to yield results. Is that the correct understanding?
Yeah. And which is why we are giving a volume guidance. So it takes into factor of that, right? We can't isolate one part of our business and, you know, keep waiting for that to grow. That is not the only lever that we have for growth, right? So there'll be other parts of the business that will also grow, and which is where that forms part over this 30,000 ton guidance that we are sharing for the full year.
Sure. And the second question is, Would it be possible to share what was the realized ferrochrome prices for the quarter gone by, as well as what are the prices today?
I think it's about
more or less
previous quarter to this quarter, a few percentage points lower, you know, but not
very
marginal, materially different.
It's fairly stable right now.
Okay, so somewhere around 115 rupees a kg or so?
Exactly.
Exactly.
It is varying in that range.
See, there are 3-4 grades. So,
right.
You can't segregate, but
average is a benchmark. It's in that same range still.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Devanshu Sampat from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, please.
Yeah, hello sir, good evening. Just one question. Just wanted to understand the frequency of negotiation that we have with clients.
Sir, it's a very detailed, engaging process. So we have a front-end team of 60-65 people across the globe who would go and open up the doors along with the assistance of the local people. Then there will be a pitch, then there are our technical guides, back-end, front-end, they will work together to design a solution, to design a wear part with a particular metallurgy. Given the requirement, given the typical mining equipment or the typical mining or cement, sorry, we'll talk more of mining only. So typical mining operating conditions, then there would be trials, there would be results which are evaluated, there would be further trials, further validations, till a final solution is reached. So a lot of this work happens at the mine end itself. A lot of it also happens at our back-end operations. So it goes as a synchronized way. Typically, it might take anywhere between at least a year to year and a half for us to reach the stage where we can confidently and convincingly tell the client that this is the final solution, which is also equally acceptable to the client. Then it goes into the pricing negotiation. Then it goes into contracts. Contracts are typically long-term, but all this takes a lot of time. It's a very engaging, continuously engaging process.
Okay, so and sir, this is, I mean, you are referring to for new clients, right, over here. I'm just asking in terms of somebody who's already there, you know, as and when the realization is.
There would slowly and gradually, that would also, as and when they need some service, some input, some technical issues, then our engineers go. Otherwise, for an ongoing client, that engagement, it continues through annual indication of the quantity that they would require year over year.
Okay. Okay. So, is there a particular time in the year this happens, or it depends on each client to client, right?
It depends on the client to client. And these are very typically a continuous. It's not so cyclical. Once you are onboarded, it is more or less continuous matching with his own mining production.
Okay. Okay. So, just to get a sense, would it be fair to assume that probably the new negotiations that are happening would be somewhere close to, you know, 5-7% lower realizations that you mentioned versus what is that in 1Q?
Again, it's very, very difficult to give a percentage statement because some of the mines we approach on a DP related benefit or the down process related benefit. Some of the mines, many mines we approach on the mining liner advantage that we bring in form of reduced power consumption costs at the SAG mill stage or improved throughput on an overall basis. So pricing is of course very important, but not always the first point of discussion. But yes, eventually when it comes to the final pricing negotiation, it is a very hard negotiation. Client wants much improved benefit at a cost which is matching with his budget, current budget. So that's always a trade-off. But again, it depends on product to product. If you are talking of grinding media, it's different. If you're talking of liners, it is different. So very difficult to make one statement.
Got it, sir. Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Amar,
you're not audible.
Yeah. Is it clear now?
Better. Yeah.
Sir, like, you know, you indicated that, you know, this EBITDA per ton boost which we are getting is primarily led to the product mix change, largely more of a large casting kind of a product. So is it there, like, you know, in total order book of around 600-650 crore, what would be the mix of this large casting order book?
No, so let's make two, three things very clear. One, the participant asked or made a statement about EBITDA per ton, but we are very clear, and what Kunal replied and what we always say, that internally we don't track on EBITDA per ton for the very simple reason that I don't work with a standard product. There is a very wide variety of products. There's a wide disparity of pricing. Some products are high volume, therefore relatively lower value. Some products are very high value but relatively lower volume. It's very, and that product mix changes quarter-over-quarter consistently because we are servicing a very wide network of customers across 125 countries, and they don't have a standard type of requirement, correct? So a much better yardstick to track us is a percentage EBITDA or an operating profit margin that we can definitely aim as a base operating margin of 22%-24%. We can do better year-over-year, quarter-over-quarter. It could be different as the product mix changes, the pass-through comes in play, the freight costs come in play. So many factors. Therefore, I think a much better way is not to look at EBITDA per ton, but to look at the percentage operating margin that we have generated or we can generate on a sustained basis.
But then, you know, even if I look percentage EBITDA per ton, like, you know, what we all are trying to understand is basically, you know, every analyst has gone wrong from last four quarters. You know, basically everybody is assuming 23%-24%, and you are basically beating the numbers. So that means there is something which we are understanding, probably we are not able to understand. So, I mean, what we are trying to understand is this, that, you know, is this the momentum of high margin product mix is likely to sustain? Because as you are indicating that now you are servicing to a probably a larger size product, because normally in a larger size product, your fixed cost reduces significantly, right? So
Kunal here. Let me understand the quandary, and there is, which is where we've clarified that we are not, what you are saying is a quarterly guidance. AIA is not giving a quarterly guidance, first point. AIA is giving a directional conversation in terms of what is our business model will defend a 20%-22% operating margin. There are periods we've done better for a variety of reasons, which we try and keep explaining, right? But directional margin is going to be that. Now, if it is not for us to give that quarterly, that's not something that we've done for last many years, correct? Because there are variables we don't understand. Some continue for a longer period to go against the way we think about things, some don't, right? So to that extent, we believe it's a futile exercise to try giving a quarterly guidance on margins. That's the first point. When you're comparing of 25 to a 22, 22 is a directional guidance, 25 is an actual quarterly performance. So there will be a delta. Quarter-over-quarter, it is not a better product mix that has generated the additional. It is one part of the better margin.
Yes.
But there is also a lag, right? Costs have gone down. My selling price has to adjust. My selling price is a sum total of lots of customers, lots of products done with different formulae. Overall, there is a pass-through. Some is benchmarking the previous quarter. Some could be benchmarking the quarter before that. While that adjustment comes, this quarter margin has changed or costs have changed, right? So there is a lag process. Overall, costs have gone down. My selling price will follow down on a lag basis, right?
Okay.
We haven't said it is gonna. It does take two to three, sometimes four quarters for all of it to get passed through. Directionally, it will get passed through, and which is where this 22% operating margin as a directional guidance comes along. Pura hone ke baad, while all that pass-through happens, something else may change, right? So that is real life, where, you know, the directional guidance only means so much because real factors come in and, you know, do the adjustment. So that's where we are with the margin answer.
So normally the lag of pricing
pass-through takes, are you saying that 4 to 5 quarters to do percolate into the customer?
Generally, it takes 2 to 3 quarters.
Okay.
Right? But the rate is also, the costs are also going down each quarter. At least the freight cost. Raw material went down, then went up, right?
Sure.
So to that extent, there is that now to split every order and every customer and then explain each of the difference is something that I don't think we'll be able to do, right?
And that also demonstrates that, as we also maintained, we do have a lot of avenues to improve the margin, but the current focus is on market cash share gain, and therefore we are conservatively giving a benchmark rate which we think we can deliver on a sustainable basis. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question.
I think we can take any other questions offline. Moderator, we can probably get done with the call. Yeah?
Sure, sir. Would you like to make any closing comments?
Yes. Thank you all. And as always, Sanjay and I remain available offline for any questions. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Have a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. We thank you for your participation and for using Chorus Call conferencing service. You may please disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a great evening.